Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. As a called and ordained minister in the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. A reading from Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm, and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Be joyful, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people. Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Let no rebels exalt themselves. Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. A reading from Galatians. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to the Gospel of St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, of Jesus, in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace on this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in the peace, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even demons submitted to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flashing light. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Thank you for having me back again. It is a joy to be back with you. So I'm delighted to be here. And you're so courageous coming out on a holiday weekend. Good for you. Yay! You're all here. I thought maybe it was just me and Mark, you know. But oh no, you all have decided to be here as well. So this morning we're talking about living creatively. Do you like that? Do you think of yourself as a creative person? I don't know, but I know who does. And I love children. Children do think that they're created to be creative. I was ordained many years ago. Before that, I taught preschool. And I loved those children. So much energy, so much joy, so much delight. When they're happy, oh, they're just dancing. They have to move. And sometimes so much angst and tears, tantrums. But there's still great joy. Their enthusiasm for life is almost unfettered. Children, especially preschool children, say, "I will, I can." No matter what it is, they'll jump up and say, "I can." But somewhere along the way, from the years of that preschooler through elementary school, high school, into adulthood, our "I can" very often changes to "I cannot." When I teach creative arts prayers with children, they are most happy to explore paints, colored pencils. Finger paints are wonderful. The messier, the better. To express what resides within them. They don't have the words, do we? To express what resides within us. But somewhere in the maturing process, when we turn toward adulthood, somehow the arts have been moved to professionalism. Those that play the pianos are professional. Those in the band become professional. Artists become professional. The rest of us say, I can't. I try to teach my adult learners in seminary how to pray with color, putting colored pencils in their hands, and it is work to help many of them be able to say, I can put a colored mark on this page. Sometimes it starts very early in life, the process of shifting from I can to I cannot. I have seen some of those preschoolers, maybe even 7, 8-year-olds, trying to tie their shoes, and their little fingers just can't get it. And they give up. Perhaps they quit. There's enough Velcro shoes now, you know, you don't even have to learn how to tie. They accept that they can't. And that carries over to other things. Or perhaps peer pressure of fitting into a crowd makes us think we're not uniquely created. And I can't. Or maybe the deep yearning to be accepted, to find belonging in community, which curtails our unique creativity, leads us to I can't. My guess is that many of us have been there, places of being where we're tempted to go along with the crowd rather than be unique. Let the loudest, overpowering voices and opinions maintain the status quo, which means it really slips in becoming more and more of whatever it is. Community can become very divisive and overpowering to our uniqueness. In that, in fact, the dominant culture of community often becomes oppressive, especially for folks that do not fit in with the perceived norm of society. Just look at what's happening in our world of late. I mean, yes, we had the pandemic. You all are very gracious. You care for your neighbors this morning, I see. And yet even through pandemic, people had to be courageous enough to rally around Black Lives Matter because shootings happen, deaths occur, gun violence explodes on innocence. Privileged folks still think they have a dominant voice to oppress others. And we have a war going on. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever get tired of all that's going on out there in the world and just want to feel insulated? Sometimes we don't even like to look at the news because, you know, it's a half hour or more so of oppression and violence and death. They may have, here's the good stuff for 2 minutes at the end. But the majority is discouraging. I've heard a lot of people talk about discouragement. A lot of people over the recent years come and ask the question, why vote? Is it really going to make a difference anyway? Systemic injustice, generational poverty, education differential levels, radical religious, racist discrimination. So how are we to sustain loving others in a world overflowing with random acts of gun violence? It's tempting to give up. It's easy to look inward, to circle our wagons and just become insular in our own communities. What are we to do in an atmosphere that is lacking of greater compassion for all people? How do we live creatively in a world that is ripe with fear, anger, raging among humanity, and unpredictable violence? Paul, from today's letter to the Galatians, expresses understanding to the faithful people. Those in Galatia are Christians. Most everybody is Christians. And he understands that it can become tiresome. Because in Galatia, even though almost everybody is Christian, there's two camps of Christianity. Those of the Jewish sector say, yes, surrender yourself to Christ, but remember the law of Moses, because Moses, after all, is the greatest, and we need to honor the law of Moses and you Gentiles. Make sure you're circumcised. Make sure you're following the law of Moses. And the Gentile camp of Christians says, say what? I'm willing to surrender to Christ. I understand that. But these rules seem outrageous. Paul is very clear in his message to both camps of Christianity. It is Christ alone. It is Christ who came and fulfilled the law so that we may live in grace and freedom. In verse 9, it's so pivotal. Paul states, let us not become weary. From the Message, that translation of the Bible, it says, so let us not allow ourselves to be fatigued doing good. Don't quit living by the Spirit, full of ministry. I have a sense that it's not just long ago in Galatia where there's camps of Christianity. And Paul speaks to us, to the very vocal groups of Christianity, both sides of Roe versus Wade, both sides when we interpret the Bible of who is in and who is out, who is loved and who is not, who is loved but they're really sinning, who is loved just because they're uniquely you. These emotionally charged issues of our day can easily cause us to grow weary. When we see groups of Christianity wielding the Bible, even upside down, to say the power of God is with us. Paul says to us, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in living full of by the Spirit of God, you are being transformed more Christ-like every single moment that you're praying. Paul moves believers beyond the rigidity of the law. Emphatically, he expresses, Christ alone, faith alone, moves us into Christ-likeness. Our faith is a gift from God. How will we live it out? For whom will we live it out? To whom do we live that out? It reminds me of the children's message that I heard last week. I was preaching on the east side of Columbus. And so one of the women, you all know what children's messages are, where the kids come forward and they talk to them. One of the women came forward and she had on her t-shirt, Be Kind. And as she started coming forward, the pianist started playing a lovely little theme song, and all of us recognized it. From Mr. Rogers. Remember the show of Mr. Rogers? It ran on television since 1968. There were 895 episodes where Mr. Rogers asked one question. Do you remember it? Anybody? Won't you be my neighbor? Yeah. And the thing is, who is our neighbor? Yes, it's our next door neighbor. It is our cross the street neighbor, our diagonal neighbor, those that live around us, those that live down the street. Yes, but from Mr. Rogers' point of view, a neighbor is our whole community, our whole Ohio state. Oh, Mr. Rogers is from Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania and Ohio, no, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is all the United States. No, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is all the world. All the people of all kinds. Won't you be my neighbor? And Mr. Rogers relies on us to heed strongly Paul's word, not to grow weary, even when there's camps of Christianity, of doing the Spirit good in life. Do not give up. Recently, I watched another real life movie. You know, I love the movies where it's autobiographical of somebody that has really done an impactful moment in our culture's life. This was about a teacher. His name is Brad Cohen. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie. It was originally a long time ago. It's now free on the streaming stations. Brad Cohen was honored being the best second grade teacher in his first year of teaching. Why is that remarkable? Why did they make a movie about him? There's a lot of great teachers, right? He started living his created, uniquely life at 6 years old. Whoop! Brad Cohen. Cohen. Ha! Had Tourette's. So when it was nice and quiet, and when the first scene of the show, at 6 years old, Brad Cohen is listening to the school assembly and the orchestra is all playing and the kids are all there and they're all being quiet. Whoop! 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 And he can't help it. It's how his brain is wired. And after the assembly, the principal says, it's kind of distracting, isn't it, that somebody out there, whoop! In the middle of a sentence, in the middle of a musical. And I know right where it's coming from, Brad Cohen. You want to come up here, Brad? And at 6 years old, he learned to be unique. He learned, as he spoke in front of that assembly to his teacher, he said, "Why are you doing that? It's very disruptive." He says, It's very disruptive. Very disruptive, and I don't like it. I'd really like to not do this. But I have Tourette's. And he spent his entire life, from 6 years old on, explaining to people what Tourette's syndrome is. His brother wanted to help people understand it in a different way, but he'd hold his brother back. He said, "Let me help you know what it's like to live differently than the main culture." When he graduated, he tried to get a teaching position. He circled on the map of Atlanta all 25 schools that he interviewed for, and as soon as they found out that he had Tourette's and he whooped in the middle of his sentences, he was not hired. Finally, the 25th school that he went to said, "I hear you've been making the rounds of the interviews." Yep, he had. They said, "Well, we pride ourselves on helping our children to love others, all people." They hired him for one contractual year. He had to whoop his way through teaching second grade students. He had to help the students understand his illness. He had to help the parents understand his illness. Some of those parents pulled the kids out of the classes. He had to understand. He had to help the workers understand. And there were scenes in that movie where Brad Cohen became very fatigued, wanted to give up. But Paul's words echoed, "Do not give up. Do not be fatigued, tired of doing good in the Spirit of God." How are we doing? How are we living in a way that we do not grow weary, that we do not fatigue, living in a worldwide chaotic neighborhood where Supreme Court rulings spark outrageous joy and anger, when random gunfire explodes in places we think are safe or should be, when bombs burst in air, not with the 4th of July fireworks, but over Ukrainian people? Who is our neighbor? Won't you be our neighbor? How will you live? Tirelessly sharing the gift of God with our neighbors. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God has it all under control. We just need to be guided by God's grace. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Lord of the harvest, you send your Church into the world to proclaim Christ's new creation to all. Renew the Church as it carries out your mission of peace and healing. We pray for missionaries who accompany your people. God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Brenda, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace. Your creation abounds with flowing waters and diverse creatures. Guide the work of climate scientists as they develop and advocate ways to restore Earth's natural balance. Motivate humankind to adopt lifestyles that protect and sustain the Earth. God of grace. You guard the nations. Let no leaders exalt themselves, but lift up the most vulnerable and work for the good of all. Send your Spirit to eradicate classism and inequity, violence and war, poverty and hunger. God of grace. You desire abundant life for all. As we celebrate Independence Day, instill in us gratitude, generosity, and persistence in working toward freedom for all people. God of grace. Mothering God, you care for all people in need. Nourish those who are hungry. Restore employment to those who have lost work. Heal those who are sick and comfort all who are dying or grieving, especially Tracy, Scott, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Dave, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. We give thanks for the healthy birth of Farley Bollinger, and we ask for comfort for the family of Natalie Rudd. God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke and their chaplains. God of grace. We remember the saints who proclaimed your reign on earth and now rest in you, especially Thomas the Apostle, whom we remember today. Make us faithful in our witness to Christ's new creation. God of grace.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the new way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels and with the church on earth and the hosts in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In the great love you sent to us, Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share in this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Are there announcements that we want to share?
We'd like to especially welcome Scott this morning. We would ask that like to greet Scott after the service, please have your mask on, and rather than shaking his hand and greeting him, if you would give him a fist bump, that would be greatly appreciated just for his safety. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Saint John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.